Amen. I think it's good for us to be reminded of that, that this is our Father's world. And Satan may have tried to steal it for a little while, but I know who created it, and I know where it's headed back, what direction we're headed back to Eden again. Amen. God bless you. Brother Trevor, you and your family have a special for us tonight. Tonight. I believe Sister Shannon, have you got a special?
God bless you all. I don't have William here tonight, so you guys are stuck with me. But I hope it's a blessing to you.
Amen.
The nails that held him set me free. His life for mine. His life.
The special so far tonight, amen. Amen. We got one more, I think. Sister Amanda, would you come and just sing for us tonight? Sister Amanda comes from my Uncle Jeff's church up in Delaware, and we really appreciate the gift that God's given her and these other families that have been singing for us tonight, and the sister that played the instrument, amen. God has given us a lot of gifts in the bride. And I don't know about you, but I don't like to just say, well, you know, I'll just, when God gives me something, I'll just throw it in the closet somewhere. But I like to see people use their gifts for God.
Seems like all I could see was the struggle. Been won, and I
Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. Brother Trevor. Me and him are buddies, so I might be able to get away with that. But Brother Trevor preached for us a few months ago on the seals. And one thing that I like that he brought out, you know, we always want to get into the deep mysteries and all that, and that's fine. But one of the things that I thought that he brought out that was, you know, just so simple, Brother Bram comes and preaches God in simplicity before the seals. And he said the main purpose of the seals was just to show us about the book of redemption and that we were redeemed. That was the whole purpose of it, was to show we're redeemed. Amen. God in simplicity. We try to make it so mysterious and so unachievable that you have to be a theologian to get it. But the little housewife and the little child should be able to get just that simple fact that thank God you redeemed us. Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's sing this as Brother Jason comes. Amen. Let's just stand tonight. Oh, teach me, Lord, to wait. Lord, you'll answer my pleas. Oh, teach me not to rely on what others do, but to wait in prayer for an answer from you. Oh, they that wait together. Oh, teach me, Lord, to wait. While hearts are aflame, oh, help me humble all my pride and just call on your name. Oh, keep my faith renewed and keep my eyes on thee. Just help me be
with wings and eagle. They shall run and not be weary. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Let the whole church say amen. Praise God. Greet you again in the name of the Lord Jesus, our wonderful Savior. Amen. I'm happy, very, very, very happy to be here again tonight. Happy that I've got to know a number of you quite a bit better today. Praise the Lord. And it's just been wonderful. I tell you, I find that everywhere I travel all over the world, the Holy Ghost always builds the same kind of person. Amen. And it doesn't matter. I've been in the darkest African jungles, and within 5 minutes of meeting believers, it's like you've known them your whole life.
Amen.
Oh my, I remember one night I don't even remember what country I was in Africa, and it's probably 3 o'clock in the morning, and I was on this lonely middle of nowhere in Africa road, and I was with a pastor. I was probably the only white human being within hundreds of miles. I'd only met this pastor that day. And here we are at 3 a.m, we're walking on this road to get to a location. And it suddenly occurred to me, my goodness, here I am. I'm in Africa. I'm with a man I just met this morning. I'm in the middle of nowhere in another country in Africa, no less. And you know what? Everything's fine. Amen. So it's just wonderful to have the Spirit of God. It's the thing that binds us all together. Is the love of God. You remember, friends, love's not a Love's not an emotion. Love's a person.
Amen.
See, the Bible doesn't say God has love. The Bible says God is love. He himself is the embodiment of love. So it's not a feeling. We call it love. We have affection and things like that we feel for one another. We call that love. But love is a person. See, Paul said, I might have faith, you know, to move mountains. I could even give my body to be burned. But if I don't have that person living inside me, all of that's worthless.
Amen.
See, amen. So I want to know, as Paul said, I want to know him in the power of his resurrection. Amen. Just in front of the book of Malachi is the little prophetic book of Zechariah. Amen. And so just before Malachi, you'll find Zechariah. I want to look at chapter 3 this evening. Amen. I want to just tell you how much I enjoyed last night, and I appreciate especially the faith that I felt and the people that came forward for prayer. And I'm just sure the Lord is already at work for your needs. Amen. Praise God. So, Zechariah, we're going to go to the third chapter, and I want, by the help of the Lord, to continue tonight in what I began last night, what the Lord began last night, from bondage to freedom. And we want to take a little deeper look at it tonight. Last night we were trying to lay some foundation, and I want you to really going to give you some scriptures and some things Brother Branham said that you've heard before, but I want you to think about them again tonight. Aren't you glad for a prophet to be able to just put us at ease and put us at rest? We can go through our Bibles with no, oh my, just to know that I have that absolute voice that God sent me.
Amen.
Oh, it's such a comfort, friends. My goodness. If it weren't for that, there'd be so much that we would just be like the rest of mankind down through history. We'd look at a lot of scriptures and just say, wow, I don't get that.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. But I'm glad God, you know, God was obligated. If he called us at this last age to come into perfection like him, then he had to send us a message that could accomplish it.
Amen.
You believe it?
Amen.
Praise God. Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Now Joshua, this is Joshua the high priest. Now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spoke unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. And I said, now this is the prophet standing to the side observing all of this. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, and if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shall also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. Let's bow our heads. Dear Master, we come to your word again tonight, Lord, and it is just a seven-course meal to us, Lord. And we had wonderful, delicious food today, but Lord, this is the manna that comes down from heaven. And oh God, we love your word tonight. We're here so grateful to you. It's you that brought us this word, Lord. Lord, we would just be topsy-turvy without it. We would be in a tailspin with the rest of the world, Lord. Our hearts also would be failing us for fear. Lord, there's no fear like a fear of the unknown. And Lord, but you have given us an assurance, Father, and you've given us understanding, Lord. You did it with great intent, Father, that we should trust in you. So we do so tonight, Lord. We put our whole trust in you now. Commit myself as your servant. All I can do is what I have done. I have followed you to this pulpit. Now, Lord, I stand here ready to serve you at your bidding. Commit myself and this audience to you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I think I'm going to maybe slide out of this jacket tonight. Hope that's all right. Amen. I'm sure it is. Praise the Lord. Take a look at the pastor, and I'm sure it is. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Like to have a good example to follow. Amen. Now, I want you just to, I'm going to take some scriptures tonight, and I've got a lot to cover, and I'm not a long-winded preacher, so don't get alarmed. But I want to cover some ground, and I want to be able to go fast. So I'm just going to quote a scripture, and I'll no more than quote it. I'm going to start reading it. So don't really try to follow me and chase me through with your scriptures. Just write the note down. You can go home and read it, but I'm going to read it to you. And that way, I want you to absorb the thoughts one after another, because I'm going to build my case for you tonight. I got to get your mind thinking like the Bible. All right? Let this mind, which was in Christ, be in you. All right. So, you know, Jesus asked some very puzzling questions, and he left some real head scratchers that a lot of times he wouldn't explain things, and he would say things that were so abstract and so strange that even the disciples said, you know, Lord, why do you do that? I mean, you know, shouldn't you just be clear? And Brother Branham said, you know, he did things like that on purpose. Prophet said Jesus lived in a world no one really knew anything about. So he lived in a world all to himself. Now there he was. That's a strange statement that really only a prophet could really appreciate. He said, you know, here he was standing right there talking to people, and a prophet saying, but really he lived in a whole nother world. See, and so, you know, I love the statement, prophet of God talks about real faith and real power and real authority. He said, actually, there's enough power. See, so it's not a question of that. It's a question of the unction of the Spirit. But he said, you got enough power to create a world and go live on it. Now, I frankly have never been interested. Well, I don't know. Sometimes, maybe I have, maybe, but 20 years of pastoring can sometimes make you want a world you can go to. But you know, the world that I like to create, is first time I heard that quote, I said, all right, Lord, I'm going to create my planet right now. It's going to be called Planet Jesus, and I'm going to go live there right now forever. Amen? Amen? So I want to be able to, while I'm in this world, live in another world. Amen. And I believe that that's possible by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So God and time, it's an interesting thing, God and time. You know, God doesn't, he's not bound by time. He doesn't worry about, you know, we worry about time. And God's not so much worried about time. And he thinks of it really a lot different than we do. There's a lot of things in the scripture that, you know, if you read the Bible like a newspaper, and if your only concept is 2 plus 2 equals 4, there's some things that aren't going to make a whole lot of sense to you. And that's where you just have to just let go of your human reasoning and just believe what God says. Amen? I think our faith ought to exceed our understanding. Because if you only believe what you understand, where is your faith? See? And so, you know, Jesus, he left some real twisters to him, and you know, they try to ask him a big important question, and he's like, well, I'll answer yours if you'll answer mine. And he gets in a conversation talking about the Son of Man, which came down from heaven, which actually standing in heaven, which actually is talking to you right now. Now, figure that one out. And they, you know, some of the questions he would ask them, they'd, why, by what authority do you do this? He said, okay, I'll tell you what, I'll answer that if you answer me this. The ministry of John, was it of God or no? And they get in their little huddle. All right, fellas, now look. If we say it was not of God, the Jews who believe John was a prophet are going to kill us.
That's right.
However, if we say it was, then he's immediately going to ask us, then why didn't you believe him when he testified about me?
Amen.
He told you I was the Lamb of God. Why didn't you believe him?
That's right.
See? And so, well, what are we going to say? Well, we just better say we don't know. So they said, well, we can't say. He said, all right, well, neither do I answer your question either. Oh, my. But when he gave them that one about the Son of Man who came down from heaven, who was standing in heaven, and there he was himself on the earth, Bible said they durst ask him no more questions after that. So we think about how that God, if you think about how that the the prophets, Paul, and we were just talking about it today in the Old Testament. They were also making reference to Old Testament prophets speaking, and how that, you know, Paul had said, "For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry." And yet, from where Paul is speaking, it's going to be at least 20 centuries. 2,000 years and 7 full church ages. I mean, a human mind would say, you know, Paul, that thing you said about him not tarrying, I don't know. You know, but yet you realize that Paul was speaking expressly by the Spirit. So right away, I think God is trying to get the church to understand, look, my thoughts are higher than yours. They're above yours. If you just use your little peanut brain to try to figure me out, you're going to log jam really fast. And so we realize that if you take in the book of Acts, and that scripture I gave you was from Hebrews 10:37. If you take in the book of Acts in chapters 13, verses 46 through 47 and 48, you'll find all the way down through that 13th chapter and beginning even with the 14th chapter, you'll find that Paul and Barnabas, the Bible says that they waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. That's it. You Jews, we're done with you. We're not going to deal with you anymore. Why is that, Paul? For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for the salvation unto the ends of the earth. And so I'm notifying you that that prophecy, this day, that scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. And from now on, we're turning to the Gentiles. Now that works fine until you get to the end of the chapter. By the next verse, you're already at chapter 14. And the Bible says that here Paul and Barnabas, they go to another city. And where do they go? Right into the synagogue. Right into the synagogue. Right back preaching to the Jews again. You know, we find out that in the days of Isaiah. So Isaiah says in chapter 53 verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. Now here it is, 700 years before it's even happened, and he's already saying we are healed. See? So the current needs, if you think about Isaiah, just put yourself there in a moment. The current needs for healing in the days of Isaiah, whatever the current needs were in the land that people needed healed, right, that during that Old Testament era, they are actually spoken of in the future as already present. And it's going to be 700 years before he even suffers those wounds. And then when you turn it around and go into the New Testament, First Peter picks it up in 1 Peter, who his own self bare our sins, 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were. Now he points back to Calvary, you were healed. So now you've got then healing, past tense, at Calvary, spoken to the current New Testament era saints, is who are present at that time. They find that the healing that they are given precedes the sickness they have yet to have. So that when the sickness arrives, it's already defeated. Amen. Peter's saying, look, what happened there takes you now and makes sickness that coming in the future already defeated when it comes. Amen. Now you try and get 2 plus 2 to equal 4 now. Your position in Christ right now and in the future ages to come is already past tense. Right now. Your position now in Christ and in the future is already, even your future position is already past tense. Past tense to even where you are presently. Paul said in Romans 8:28, "For we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." Now, it doesn't say, a lot of people say, well, the Bible says all things work for my good. It actually doesn't say that. Because all things that happen to you aren't good. Bad things happen to good people. And a lot of times you say, wow, you know, this is really bad. I thought God said everything that would happen to me would be good. He didn't promise you that. He said, if you'll just wait for all the pieces, they'll all work together for your good. See? So God is actually your release, and your faith must be dependent on, if you're in a bad situation, you've now got to believe that God already has the future events fixed, that when you get to them, it's going to affect how you feel in the present. And if your faith can wrap around that, you'll have peace. See, there's a couple of things that flow naturally in a believer if they're not hindered. One of them is peace, and another one is joy. Because Jesus talks about that, peace and faith are two of the best ones. Because Jesus says that I will leave you my peace. Now, not as the world gives you. We're not talking about that, not peace that you have, but I'm actually going to give you my peace. And the Apostle Peter, I believe it is, speaks about not a faith it just in the Son of God, but you are promised the faith of the Son of God. So faith and peace, more than any other thing, are to flow and should flow naturally in a believer's life unless there's something hindering. As a pastor, when I have people come up and their faith is hindered or they don't have peace in their life, I know there's something blocking it. Because it should flow naturally if it's not hindered. All right. So he says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, past tense, and whom he called, past tense, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. So whoever is predestinated is already glorified. See, now you can understand why Brother Branham in the masterpiece would describe it all. Brother Branham would say, to God, it's all a big drama.
That's right.
And we're players in this great drama of God. Prophet said, as far as God is concerned, it's already wrapped up a long time ago in Christ before the world ever began. And that's why the Bible says you are already, while you're sitting in this building wearing the clothes you're wearing, you're already in the presence of God. You've already passed from death unto life. You've already entered in across the chasm into the presence of God. I was worried about this contraption. You know what I'm going to do? I am. I was thinking about that. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Is it on? Praise God. I was worried about that thing, and it kept falling off and making that little sound. I said, I'm going to sling that thing and get me a Pentecostal microphone. Amen. I know it's we do that. Don't think bad of us. I use that same kind of contraption at home. Mine's a little better. But hey, I've had some evangelists sling it off before, and I'm like, wow. But we do that for recording's sake, because this thing, don't ever let Fred Mullins preach one of these, because he'll just hold it down here and start talking and bring it back up here, and then you get the tape and you won't hear it. So I'll try to keep it up here and keep it steady. I had a young lady, she was a singer, she said, and she was a recording artist in the Message, and she told me, she said, Brother Jason, said, all you got to do is keep touching your chin. Every once in a while, let it touch your chin, you'll know it's in the right spot. And I said, thank you, sister, I appreciate that. So we're already, the Bible says that we are now seated together. In where? Heavenly places. So wait a minute now, I'm in Indiana, I'm in a building, I know good and well where I am. You're already seated together. Amen. In heavenly places. Amen. Brother Ram said in the breach, he said what that the blood of Christ builds that bridge, and it takes the man from this side all the way over and deposits him into the presence of God. Already, see. So we realize then that
That's why Brother Branham could show us that you didn't become a child of God when you repented. He said you only discovered that you had always been a child of God. Is that what he taught us? And so we realized then that the new birth for you is your when you begin cooperating with the Word of God. When your heart and your mind begins to agree with the Word of God, and that's when Brother Branham said then that as soon as he can get that to agree, then that old nature is annihilated and a gene seed of God begins to live. Hallelujah. So you found out that you always were a son of God. All right, so we find that in 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, we find out that the seed which is already in you, listen to this, 1 John 3, 9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. For his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin. See, sin's unbelief. So we find that this seed which is already in you speaks for you when you fall, so that you can't even have sin accounted to you. Because what if I make a transgression? He covers that. He says, if you do transgress, you already have an advocate who's already speaking for you, who's already saying, Father, forgive him, for he knows not what he's doing. Hallelujah. You believe it? So we begin, and this is going to be important to get your mind in this kind of a frame, because, listen, friends, you're part of a plan. You're part of a great scheme that God has been undertaking for millennia. And it's come all the way down to this last age. And you're not actually at the end time. You're at the end of the end time. And I believe that we are just on the threshold of that final sweep that a prophet told us about, that fresh surge. I'm looking for it, friends. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Where God is going to prove, oh my, in one final showdown. And I'm not just looking for that somewhere over the rainbow, somewhere tomorrow. I'm looking for it tonight. Amen. I believe God is already proving his word among his people. Amen. See? So that's where we talked about last night. I mean, how else are you going to explain where we showed you how that Sarah and how that Sarah by no means should she have survived when she lied and laughed and then lied about it in the presence of Almighty God. And God, who could not overlook sin, that it's not like God could just say, okay, I won't count that. That God can't do that. There has to be an atonement made. And so we find out then that we were talking about Sarah, we were talking about Rebecca, we're talking about Tamar, and how that Tamar, you know, here she is, she's deceiving, she's lying, she's playing the harlot.
We are not going to be defeated by technology. Amen.
All right. So she, you know, Judah says of her, Judah speaks of her actions as righteous. We were talking about that last night, my goodness. And Judah's not calling her lies and her deceit and her playing the harlot. He's not calling sin righteousness. But what you realize is the Holy Spirit is speaking in a type, showing you, because now she has the seed of the line of Christ in her. And so now that line of Christ, that seed of God, it supersedes all of her mistakes, all of her failures. And God is pronouncing righteousness upon her. Sarah, the same thing as we showed you last night. She couldn't by any means. What did God do? When Sarah lies and then God says, why did you lie? Why didn't laugh? Oh, yes, you did. But you'll notice when you read in the scripture, immediately when God confirms, yes, not only have you laughed, But now you're telling a lie, and the next word out of God's mouth should have been, you will not live any longer. But the Bible shows that he immediately walks away from her. He turns his eyes toward his son, who is Abraham. He turns his eyes upon his chosen son. And that's what God does to you and I when we have a fault in our lives and we stumble. God looks at our chosen son. Hallelujah. See, so when God does this thing, it is so secure. God so eliminates the possibility that the devil could have a claim against his family. You think about Abraham when he, I love relating the story how that Abraham, here he goes along and God says, take your son. And Abraham had other sons, but God says, take your only son and sacrifice him. So now God, God has tested his faith for 25 years. And now God is going to take the very object of that faith and make him lose that object of his faith to see if God will still believe him. Take him and sacrifice him. And Abraham takes him. He doesn't say anything to Sarah. Brother Branham says he didn't mention it. You know, to Sarah, because she would have screamed. That's going to be a woman. And he said she'd have screamed. And so just, Brother Ram said, he just went on, took him, said, you know, tell your mother goodbye. And we go on. And here they go along. And they've got their servants. And he says, Father, I see the wood. And I see the fire. But where's the lamb for sacrifice? And the Lord, and Abraham says, the Lord shall provide himself a sacrifice. So it's speaking that not only would God provide the sacrifice that they would need, but God in type is going to provide himself. Amen. As a sacrifice. Amen. You understand? The Lord shall provide himself. Glory. Your sacrifice. And thus we get the term Jehovah Jireh. The Lord provides. Now, let me just give you why do we have the meaning the Lord provide, the Lord your provider. That's actually a byproduct or an outcropping or a fruit of the actual meaning of Jehovah Jireh. The actual meaning, the root meaning, I should say, in the Hebrew is the Lord sees and the Lord will see to it. So thus, he's a provider. He sees your need, and he'll see to it. And whatever he's got to do to meet your need, he'll see to it. Say, oh, if nobody knows what I'm going through, there is one who knows what you're going through tonight. There is one who sees and will see to it tonight. Let me give you that courage. There is one who sees your plight and will see to it. He is Jehovah Jireh. And they get there, and we find Isaac doesn't struggle. He lays him down on the altar, and he builds it all ready, and binds him and lays him. And there's no struggle in the child, and Abraham draws back his knife. And Brother Branham said he was just as determined to bring that knife down, he said, as I am to pick up my Bible. And Abraham so determined to follow and obey God that the voice of God quickly, with urgency, Abraham, 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 oh, touch not the lad. For now I know that thou believest me. You know, I've asked my church, I said, you know, do you suppose that there was something God didn't know? I mean, do you suppose there's anything that God don't know? And yet God is saying to Abraham, now I know. Now I know that, you know, I would like to present to you tonight, friends, that there is nothing that God doesn't know about you. But I think in Abraham's case, I know that God knew Abraham would trust him. But I believe that Abraham needed to know that Abraham would trust him. I think that God puts you in conditions and situations. God already knows what you're going to do. But you need to know that when it comes push, when it comes shove, when it gets hot, when it gets hard, you know my Redeemer liveth and I'll stand on his word. Hallelujah. And you draw strength by that. And it's so beautiful in the scripture. Because then he turned, the Bible shows, and I'm not going to take the time to read it tonight, but the Bible says, then there was suddenly a ram, and it was behind him. And he hadn't noticed the ram, see, because it was behind him. And suddenly, he turning behind, he sees a ram caught by his horns in a thicket. Now, it's amazing because it's such a parallel to Revelation chapter 5. So glorious because, you know, when you find John standing there in Revelation 5, and here's another perfect example of what we're talking about tonight, about the mind of God not being all lined up with our human minds. Because now we can see we're in a situation where we know, we understand, and a prophet has taught us, and you can see it in your own Bible, and you can realize that this one who is seated on the throne, the prophet said, he must remain seated there, interceding until that last name is brought in. And yet, at the exact same time, we also know that this lamb also, in order to take the book and loose the seals, and how many believe God loosed the seals in our day? In order to do that, he has to stand up and walk forward. And so you say, well, wait a minute. I thought if he walked forward, and some people, because they think only in 2 + 2 = 4, because they read the Bible like a newspaper, because they read a lot of times a prophet's words in that way, and they said, oh, well, since the seals are open, and they began preaching right after the seals, mercy's over, mercy's over. I'm glad it wasn't over. Oh, I'm so glad it wasn't over at that hour. I'm so glad it's not over at this hour. I still got loved ones that I want to get in. And so yet it almost looks like two different worlds. It almost looks like contradictory statements. So we realize then it all has significance because God, you know, we were talking about this today. We talk about the coming of the Lord. And we realize there was a descending of the mighty angel in Revelation 10:1. Yet Brother Branham talks about the corporal return of Christ. And Brother Branham said, I believe in the corporal return of Jesus Christ. And you say, and Brother Branham says, why do I believe it? Because that's what Christians believe. So that's what Christians believe. We believe in the corporal return of the Lord. Amen. And in fact, as Brother Branham said, he doesn't set his feet on the earth in the rapture. We meet him in the air. He doesn't put his feet on the earth until he comes at the end of the book of Revelation. But at the same time, we know that this mighty one descended down with an earthly angel on the earth. How many believe we had that earthly angel? Sure. So you can't get all log jammed reading the Bible like that. That's why I'm so glad for a prophet. We'd be in such a, oh, these would be head scratchers to us. It's head scratchers to the world. But I'm glad God sent a messenger who could take these things and make it simple to us. And so, you know, here they are. I was talking to, you know, a Baptist man. He was so contending with this whole business of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you know, and they believe that you receive the Holy Ghost when you believe. Doesn't matter that the Bible says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Doesn't matter that the Bible says, and after you believed, you received the Holy Ghost. I mean, you can go to all these scriptures, and they, you know, he says, well, he says, John 3:16 says, whosoever believes, just right there, immediately, God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe. I said, sure. It says that, but it doesn't say who will believe. It doesn't even say anybody will. It just says, well, whoever does. It's not a promise of who's going to believe. It's not even a promise that anyone will believe. It's just simply a promise that whoever does will be saved. You say, well, good grief, then who is going to believe? I'm glad you asked that. You got to go to the book of Acts chapter 13, and the apostle says, them that were ordained believed. Hallelujah. Friends, you're not going to trick God. That God's got this whole thing figured out. He's got this whole thing mapped out. And it don't matter what men want to argue and throw dirt in the air and say it's not this and it's not that. God goes right over the top of critics and keeps proving his word. And so here he comes, and he was saying, you know, Calvary finished it. Jesus said it's finished. I was telling you a little bit of this last night, and I said, look, friend, I said, redemption is in two parts.
No, tell me how to kill batteries already. Oh, hey, we got the wall charging now.
Yeah, you need a test? Thank you. I'll just preach without it if I have to. I've done that overseas. So here he is. And I said, look, redemption's in two parts. He has a purchasing work. And absolutely, when the Lamb was offered at Calvary, the purchasing work, it is finished. Christ will never have to come back. He died once to sin. He dieth no more. It's totally finished. He's perfected forever them that are in Christ Jesus. Do you believe it? But because redemption has a finishing part at the end of the age that he prophesied in his own word, that there would be ages to come. That Paul said, in the ages to come, he wants to show something. There's a great mystery. He doesn't refer to Calvary as a great mystery. What he calls a mystery is Christ in people, Christ in you. That's the great mystery. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so it is a mystery to the world how that this supernatural being comes into a mortal life and changes all of his desires and changes all of his thinking and changes all of his habits and makes him a brand new creation. It seems impossible. And people who knew you when you were in sin, they can't reconcile the you they used to know with the you they know now. And you can't explain it. All you can say is, I found the Lord. Actually, he wasn't lost. You found him. He found you. Said, oh, the Lord, he came chasing. He caught me. Oh, my, the Holy Ghost always gets his man, Brother Daniel. I'll just tell you tonight, if there's a bounty, if the Holy Ghost got a bounty on your head and you're a desperado running from the Lord, you just might as well throw up your hands now, because the Holy Ghost never fails to catch his man. Hallelujah. I'm so glad. I'm so glad he caught me. And so we see then that here he is, and even John, when he's standing there, and you know, they said, who's worthy to take the book? And the Bible says no one. They looked everywhere, they looked all through heaven, looked under heaven, couldn't find no priest, no prophet, no king, no one. And John said, I wept much, all because no one was found. And Brother Branham takes up that question, you know, and a lot of theologians, you know, why was he weeping? And one of his friends said, you know, Billy, it's because he wasn't worthy himself. And other theologians have this opinion, that opinion, and well, it's because of this and because of that. And Brother Branham says, but to me, he says, I believe the reason John was weeping is because John knew that if somebody didn't come and take that book, all was lost. Now you think about that, friends. This is the same John who was standing at Golgotha. He was the only apostle standing there with Mary, who was referred to as the mother of Christ. And he stood there with Mary, and Jesus said, son, behold your mother. Woman, behold your son. And this is the same John who's watching him die, hearing the death rattle, seeing the groans, seeing the agony, watching his body quake and shiver and convulse, and saw him die. And John heard him cry with a loud voice. And if anybody had a close proximity vision of Calvary, it was this man standing here on Patmos in a vision. And he's saying, I saw Calvary. I know what happened. I was there. But if somebody doesn't come and claim this book, all is lost and it's all for nothing. But somebody was found worthy. He said, don't weep, John. The lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed. And John says, and I turned and I saw a lamb. And Brother Branham said, see, John hadn't noticed that lamb. Because now we're back in Genesis. Said, because he was back in there. He was back in there interceding. And he turned. Now here's Abraham. Abraham hadn't noticed the ram. He turns behind him. And here's a ram. Oh, hallelujah. The Bible is so perfect. And you know what? It's so beautiful because the Bible says he was caught by his horns. Now, a horn for the ram represents his strength. So the strength of any man is his character. Amen? All right, men? That's the truth. Your strength, you know, Brother Branham said, I've seen men 6 foot, 200 pounds, didn't have an ounce of man in them. See, I said, Brother Daniel, one time years ago, I was only just a young man, probably 20. I probably had 3 kids already, but I was still a young man. And, well, we got married at 12, so we, no, I'm just kidding. I knew you were from South Carolina. I was sitting in a barbershop one time, and I'm sitting there, and I wasn't even preaching at the time. And some guys down here, and it's just like there was just this age. All the way over here was an 85-year-old man that kind of went down to a 75-year-old, a 60 and 50-something, 40-something. And down here was some guys in, you know, close to my age, and they're talking about something they had seen on TV. And something about the championship of the football stars, who's the fastest, who can lift the most weights, who can run the jump the highest. And they're just down there talking about, wow, did you see that man? Whoa, I'm going to tell you what, that man, I kept hearing that man. I kept thinking, And finally, I just kind of had enough of it. And I just kind of said, what in a man among them? And man, the place got quiet. Even the barber, one of them little Mayberry RFD barbershops where the barber was actually the mayor of the city. And when I said that, he kind of backed up from me a little bit. He knew me good. He said, Jay, what you mean by that? I said, wasn't a man among those guys. And one of those young guys down at the end, he kind of said under his breath, looked like men to me. And I said, oh, no, we're not talking about muscles. That's just brute. That just means they're an animal. I said, ain't an ounce of man in them. I said, fellas, I'm telling you right now, there wasn't a man among them. I said, manhood is not a gender. It's an office. Right. So you don't get to be a man just because you're a male. You might be a 20, 30, you might be a 50-year-old male and have never been a man in your life. It has nothing to do with gender. You don't automatically get awarded manhood. You might be a male. You might be a 60-year-old male. You might be a 70. You might be 7 foot, 380-pound male. And that doesn't mean you're a man. I said, I started preaching, and this time I said, because manhood, it bespeaks character. It bespeaks honesty. It talks about integrity. It talks about dependability. It talks about responsibility. It talks about reliability. Oh my, I got going on a tangent. And I just said, no, nothing doing. I said, those guys with their long hair and their shaved chest and their sissy shorts, I said, there's not an ounce of man in one of them. They're a bunch of pretty boys dressed up like women who fill themselves with muscles. And the place just went dead quiet. It's probably 15, 18 men in there. And I finally fell quiet. And Bob came over and started cutting my hair again. And you know what? The oldest guy in there, about 85, everybody respected him. Everybody knew him. Old farmer lived in that town. He's sitting over here. And he just looked up at me. He said, you might have something there, son. Well, I had instant cred. And immediately, I had total credibility at that moment because the senior elder of the whole town had spoke up for me. Oh, my. I'll never forget that. That was, and I, you know, I've challenged that even at young men's meetings. I've challenged young men, you know, look, just because you're growing, just because you're this age, you think you're that age, that don't make you a man. Manhood is an office. You achieve to that. You acquire that. You earn that office. You earn that badge and you wear it proud. God, the world needs men. It's got lots of males, but it got very, very few men. And that's why Brother Branham said there was never a man like Jesus. And yet he was small of stature and nothing to look at, no beauty that we should desire him. But Brother Branham said, never a man like him in all the world. Oh, the priest, they sent their temple guards to go arrest him. We're tired of all his preaching. We're tired of him running down our denomination. And they grabbed their spears and they grabbed their shields. Yes, sir. And they holster their swords, and away they go, marching, 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 and they bust in on one of Jesus' meetings right while he's in the middle of a sermon, and they have to sit there and listen. And they listen, and they listen, and they listen, and finally they put their swords back, and they turn around and go back. And the priest says, "Where's he at? You mean you didn't arrest him?" They said, "Never a man spake like this." Oh, I'm so glad to know that man. I'm so glad he lives down inside my soul. Hallelujah. And it's something to aspire to. It's something to say, "Lord, let me be like that man." Oh, and here he is. He steps forward, and his character. See, if you look back in the Bible, you'll see that it was not the first time, because it spoke of Jesus, and he's at Calvary. This ram caught by his horns in a thicket is Christ at Calvary, and it was not the first time God had been a human being, but it was the very first time that one was begotten of a woman. You understand? That's why Jesus is called the only begotten of the Father. Because he's born of a woman. But God had been a man when he met Abraham. He built a body, took the elements, and blew it into a body. And Brother Ram said he stepped into it, and he made two other bodies and got angels. And they went headed off towards Sodom, and they're going to stop and see Abraham on the way, and they're going to confirm the promise. Amen. And when God... And Brother Branham, watch. See, when he got done there... Then he goes out, he steps back out, he takes apart that body, sends it back to his elements, and Brother Branham says, "We don't hear no more about Melchizedek because he became Jesus Christ." Oh, hallelujah. So in this case, you see the vision that God is able to step into a body, and then at his leisure, he can just step back out. But now you've got God in a body that's begotten of a woman. And because now there's such character, and he has his horns that are caught in a thicket. And a thicket in the Old Testament Hebrew, it means interwoven. It means interwoven. So here was God. Oh, it wasn't just he's going to speak a body into existence, but he's going to bring an anointing in the womb of a virgin. He's going to produce a seed, and he's going to produce a body, and God's going to crawl inside that blood cell and push out arms and push out legs and come walking by the seashore. God. And Jesus said, "Except you believe I am he, you'll die in your sins." Lord, show us the Father. Have I been so long with you, and yet you don't know me? If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. How do you even ask me such a question as that, Philip? So now God, you see, he's interwoven. He's crossed his strain. Brother Branham used this kind of language. He's crossed his strain. Heaven and earth have embraced. God became a man. And now here he is. And he's in Gethsemane. Oh my. And the agony. And are you sure? Is this what you want to do? You know they'll spit on you. They'll kill you. They'll beat you. I can't even stay with you. You're going to become sin. And I can't have a part of that. And you're going to die alone. And you're going to die a sinner. And you're going to have to go to hell on behalf of all of the family so that the family never has to go there. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you something, friends. Jesus didn't just die for you. Jesus died instead of you. Hallelujah. You should have been the one to die. You should. And Brother Branham said, God condemned him as a sinner and sent him to hell. Oh, hallelujah. But hell couldn't hold him. Oh my, David said, "Hell never hold this one. Oh, I'll not suffer my Holy One to see corruption. I'll not leave his soul in hell." He conquered death, hell, and the grave, and ascended out and led captivity captive. Aren't you glad to be a part of that family? So he's caught by his character. Now he's a human. It's not like in Melchizedek. God can just step in, God can just step out. Now God's trapped. Now God's in a human body. It's interwoven. It's a thicket. He can't just say, "No, I'll just step out." Now God, in his body, has got to go to Calvary and become sin for you and I. You see, if that ram had not have come, Isaac had to die. because God had already spoken. God wasn't joking. There had to be an atonement. God was waiting for a sacrifice. And he said, Isaac is going to be the sacrifice. Isaac is just like you and me. We would have all, like Isaac, that knife would have came down. But God says, don't do that. I've got a provided ram. I've got another sacrifice that can die in your place. You see, this is God's plan. This is why God can say, you know, I've already predestinated. I've already justified you. I've already glorified you in my mind. Listen, little church, in my mind, I've already got this whole thing finished. It's all finished in Christ. When did you do it, Lord? Before the foundation of the world. This thing is so secure. If you could just believe that tonight, every devil would scream and howl when you walk down the street, because you would know who you are. You would understand your position in Christ Jesus. And it would enable you to become that last final witness that God needs in the earth. So, Sarah would have died. Tamar would have died. Isaac would have died. You would have died. They would have had to have died, because God couldn't overlook sin, but he allowed an atonement for it. And so, when we begin then to... Now, I want you to turn with me to St. John chapter 14. I'm going to turn a corner. And a sprint for a finish line. Is that all right? I still got you? All right, that wasn't quite a loud enough amen. No, that wasn't either. Well, that's a little better. I'm from the South. We expect voluminous amens. The whole church said?
Amen.
Whoa, wow. What part of the South y'all from?
Amen. I'm sorry, Brother Trevor, but I got it.
Hey, go for it, brother.
I just took a little one.
That's an inside joke I won't tell. So, watch this now. Now, I want you just to... Now, I believe I've got your mind thinking in the right vein. All right. Now, I've said everything to come to this. All right? Watch. Well, if I can get to the right place. All right? Myself. All right. St. John 14. You got it? Watch. Verse 1, read with me. Now, this is where I want you to read with me. St. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Now, watch, verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you... Now, this is speaking off in the future. I will come again. I will come again and receive you unto myself. But now, watch this language. That where I am, not where I will be, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now, watch him go right back. And whither I go, you know, and the way, you know. And Thomas begins to say, Lord, we know not. We know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way. See, Jesus is saying, look, you apostles, I'm trying to get you to understand a great concept here. I'm trying to bring a truth to you, something about myself that you haven't fully grasped yet. And before I go away, I want to try to get you to understand something about who I am. So there's a place, my Father's house, many mansions, and I'm going to go away and I'm going to prepare a place. And don't worry, I'll come back and get you. But that where I am, there you may be also. Now watch. So the place he's going to... Now, when he says, you know, in we're not going to turn here, but he had just got through saying to them in St. John 13, when he's washing the disciples' feet, he said, I came from God and I go to God. So now, Brother Branham showed us how that he came from being that pillar of fire, and he's going back to that pillar of fire. I came from that form. I'm now in this form, but I'm going back to that form. And that's the form he was in when he met Paul. He didn't meet Paul as this man. He met Paul as that pillar of fire, and when Paul asked the pillar of fire, who you are, he said, I'm Jesus. And the same guy that was standing there saying, this is what I'm going to do when I get to it. I'm telling you about it now. All right, so... So the place he's going to, so he's saying, I go and prepare a place. I'm going to go away. So the one of the, now, I, believe me, in compound understanding, and I get, Brother Bram, talking about all scripture compound meaning. I'm just taking one fold of this. It's not the whole absolute understanding. We're just catching a fold of it tonight, all right? Is that okay? So now we're thinking in the sense of this man. He's going back to spirit. I know he's preparing a place. I know it's a real city. I know we're all going there. I believe that, don't you? And so, and it's glorified bodies, as Brother Branham taught us in the future home. And so, these mansions, mansion in a mansion, so it's glorified bodies. But here, I'm taking the angle that he's going into the spirit form, and he's saying, so the place he is going to is in the form of the Holy Spirit. But where is he? I know where he's going. He's telling them, I'm going. He's told him in the chapter before, I came from somewhere besides here, and I'm going back there. And in the next chapter, he starts saying, now listen, fellas, I'm going away. I'm gonna become something different, and I'm trying to get you to understand that there's an application of what I'm going to be while I am right like I am right now. And so he's saying that where I am right now, you're looking at me, you see a man, but you're actually looking at a spirit occupying a body. And I'm trying to get you to understand that if you want to go to that place that I'm going to go prepare, you, if you want to be like I will be there, you got to be like I am here. Amen. And say, what are you, Lord? I'm God tabernacling in a body. I'm the Spirit of God. I'm the Holy Spirit. If you've seen the Father, you've seen me. And yet no man, the apostle says, no man has seen God at any time. Because he's a spirit. And you can't see him. So he tabernacles, takes a body. And so now watch. I'm just building my case. So Jesus now, he's in a certain form. He's going to be in a Holy Spirit. But here, the form that he's in now is in a place of total compliance to the Father's word. He's saying, I, right now, in this form, I'm going to be a form, but I'm telling you right now, in this form, I do always that which pleases the Father. There's something about me that I want you to understand, because you want to follow me in the regeneration. We got to talk about that. You want to be where I'm going to be, and I'm praying that you will be, but there's something you got to understand about me right now that's going to have to be true about you. You see? And so he says, he's in a place of total compliance to the Father, and he's saying that we can be also. This is what Jesus is saying to them. You can be just like me. And I'm here to tell you tonight, you can be just like him. Don't just get your mind, someday there's a rapture and there's a millennium and I'm going to be there, and you believe it and I believe it and I believe it for you and you believe it for me. But what about right now? Amen. I'm here to tell you that if you want to go there, then you got to be like him right now. You got to, and Jesus is trying to get his disciples to understand this mystery. He's beginning to break it down. There's a mystery you don't understand. And there's this thing about the Spirit. And I'm going to go away, but I'll come back and I'll be in you. I'll live inside you. A little while, the world won't see me. But I'll be with you. You'll see me because I'll be with you even in you. See? There's all so many times where they just got so mystified. What is he talking about? When he stood there and calmed the sea, and the Bible says they just all looked at each other with amazement. They were stunned. They said, what manner of man is this? We thought we knew him. What manner of man is this that when he speaks, the winds and the waves obey him? Now they're beginning to understand. He had already told them, watch. He had told them in St. John 12. Now, turn with me, St. John 12. Let's look at this real fast. Let's have you look at these with me. So in St. John 12, we find in verse 24, watch what he says. Let's read verse 26 first. Here's the reward. If any, St. John 12, verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now, how many want to be where he is today? in glory? How many want to be? How many want to live with him in glory? So verse 26 is the benefit. Verse 26 is the reward. Look at the requirement in verse 24 and 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. And then he begins to say, now if you're willing to die, if you're willing to lay down your life, if you're willing to be like I am right now, then someday you'll be with me there. See? All right. So we keep looking at our scriptures. So watch this now. Paul says you don't have to turn to this. And Paul says in Ephesians 2, 5 and 6, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up. This is what I was quoting earlier. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So now when we, now drop back to chapter 7. Let's go to chapter 7 of St. John real fast. And I'm gonna come to my point. I just want to get you following my trail here. So St. John 7. All right, watch what he says, verse 34 and 39. Watch what he's talking about. This is gonna prove to you. Now, I started in chapter 14, and if you'll notice, then I backed up to 13, then I backed up to 12, then I backed up, now I'm backed up to 7, because Jesus has been trying to get them to understand this theme, that by the time he gets to chapter 14, he can say to them, I'm going to go away, but where I am right now, I want you to know you can be also where I am right now. Watch what he says, verse 34. Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither you cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, whither will he go? We shall not find him. Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, ye seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither you cannot come? Watch how he answers it. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst. Now here he's talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Watch, it's a new birth. If any, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Watch, verse 39. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So now you realize that from chapter 7, he starts trying to get them to understand something. He goes into chapter 12 and he talks about it some more. He goes into chapter 13 and now he's describing it. I come from something. I'm going to something. He comes into chapter 14 and we find that the message in all of this thought is that if you desire to go where he is and become what he became, you have to go the way he went by the same baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'll say it again. If you desire to go where he is and become what he became, how many desire to go where he is? How many desire to become what he became? Then you have to go the way he went, by the same baptism of the Holy Ghost, the same kind of thinking. Let this mind which was in Christ be in you. You have to have the same willingness to lay down your life. You have to have the same willingness to take up your cross. Anybody and all the Christian world love to talk about the cross of Jesus. And oh, the cross of Jesus, the cross of Jesus. But when it comes time to take up their cross, Jesus said, take up, I got my cross. Now you take up your cross and follow me. And that's what separates God's family, and that's how they're known, because God's family always want to do that which pleased the Father. And the only way that we're going to arrive at where we're going to be is you've got to come by the same way Christ came, by obedience, by a willful laying down of your life. You've got to be like that ram caught by your character. I will not back up. I will not quit. I will not turn around. I'm going to press forward. forward, even if it costs me my life. A lot of people sit in churches and they won't give up their life because they like their life. They like the things in their life, and that, so things become your life. Sports become your life. Entertainment becomes your life. A job becomes your life. Your education becomes your life. Your money becomes your life. And people like their life so good, they don't want to give up their life. And but Jesus laid down all of his life and said, no greater love than a man could ever have than he would lay down his life for his friends. Watch. Back to St. John 14. So he reads on down. Philip saith to him, Lord, so is the Father. It sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you? And yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Jesus, watch what he says. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? In other words, believest thou not that I am the Father standing here in human form? In other words, believest thou not that I and the Father are the same person? That's what Brother Branham Cosley said. They're the same person. The same person. Oh, I'd love to start preaching on that, but I'm gonna go off my text if I do. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Watch, he's going to emphasize that in a couple verses. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I'll pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Who is it? Even the Spirit of truth. Amen. And Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. See, it's Jesus as a human being. He's saying, I am the way. But that's fine for Jesus, but how are you going to be a beneficiary? Brother Bram said, he raised from the dead. That's good for, that was fine for him. But how does that help you? Oh, I'm going to tell you, the only way it helps you is by the very thing he's talking about here. And he says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, that Spirit of truth, which is Christ, comes into you and you become a beneficiary. Verse 18, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you a little while. The world seeth me no more, but you shall see me because I live. You shall live also. Oh, I love this. Verse 20, at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. See, at that day, the day when the Holy Ghost comes to the upper room, at that day you shall know that I'm in the Father, and the Father in me, and I in you. I've been trying to tell you about it. I've been giving you hint after hint. I've been trying to explain it, but at that day you're going to know what I'm talking about. Oh, I'm going to tell you, friends, God was promising a fullness that would come at the last day, that there would be a final bride who would stand up on the earth, and I'm here to tell you, at that day this world is going to know who God is, who the Word is, because they're going to see it made flesh. They're going to see it at that day. Because the Omega church must become the Alpha church. That's the promise. That's the whole promise of it. Watch. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Reading quickly. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, my Father will love him, and I will come to him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not, he says it again, let not your heart be troubled. See, here, this is his message. This is what he started with. Let not your heart be troubled. I got a plan for this life. Don't worry. You're predestinated. You're already glorified. You're already justified. All you need to do is follow the path. I'm the path. I'm the way. Lord, how can we know you? How can we know this Father? How can we be where you're going to be? Just come the way that I'm coming. Come by the way of the Spirit. And now I have told you before. See? Watch this. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away. Verse 28. And come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice. Watch. See? If you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. In other words, Jesus is saying, look, as a human, I can feed 5,000. I can heal your sick. I can raise your dead. But as the Spirit, I go to my Father. It's going to be better for you that I go. Because when I go into that form, I can help you much more than in this form. I go to my Father. It's better for you that I go to my Father. Because if you think I'm helpful now, wait till you see me in the Spirit when I live in the whole church. Wait till you see how many devils are going to be defeated. Wait till you see how the gospel's going to spread north, south, east, and west. Oh, hallelujah. We're here tonight as believers because he went back to the Father. Amen. Hallelujah. And then he could come into the church. Watch. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you. For the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Such a beautiful, beautiful statement. The prince of this world cometh and he hath nothing in me. See, he's coming. The prince of this world is coming to examine him. And Jesus is going to have to face him in Gethsemane. And Jesus now, when Satan comes, he's going to try to probe. He's going to try to see if there's some discrepancy. Satan's always been able to find a man's weak spot. He found Adam's weak spot. He found David's weak spot. He found Abraham's weak spot. He found Moses' weak spot. They all had a weak spot. But he had never come upon a man like this man. He had got defeated in the wilderness, and now he's coming to the garden. And now Jesus said, he's coming. He's coming to test me. He's coming to put me on trial. He's coming to examine me. And watch Jesus prophetically speaking before he's not even at Gethsemane and won't be for a little while. And he said, but he findeth nothing. When he comes then, I'm telling you now, he findeth nothing in me. Because in other words, there's nothing in me that he can point his finger at. There's no failure. There's no doubt. There's no hesitation. There's no double-mindedness. There's no fear. There's nothing in me, but I've done always that which pleases the Father. Amen. He cometh. Friends, every time I read that, I just say, this Spirit that Jesus is talking about, he's trying to get you to understand if this same Spirit that lived in Christ lives in you. When Satan comes to you, he findeth nothing. He findeth nothing. When Satan came to Jesus, you know what he found in him? The life of God. Amen. See, now we're back. Now we're back, and I'm going to finish here. Now we're back to our story in Zechariah. Because now, watch this, I'll just tell you the story rather than read it again. I could just take the whole sermon the rest of the night and preach another hour just going back and taking it verse by verse. Let me just bring you the scene in your mind. So here is Joshua the high priest. Now, Israel has had covenant promises made to them, just like you and I. Everybody still with me? 15 minutes, and I'll wrap it up. I promise you, I'm going to have you free in the Lord. Oh, the devil will never be able to hold you back in fear again, friends. And here comes Israel. And back in the reference in Zechariah 3 is the way that they were in the wilderness when the high priest, which Joshua was, whenever the high priest would go in before into the Holy of Holies, all of Israel didn't have to go in there. The high priest went in there representing everybody. Amen? He presented one offering, and if that offering was accepted, then all the nation was their sin was taken care of for a year till it came back time next year. This is why Christ came and died. That's why Paul said those blood and they had to go year after year because, you know, now they come with these evil desires. They get the blood sacrificed for them, but they go away with their same evil desires. They're never really free. God come to make you free. I'm preaching to you from bondage to freedom. The Holy Ghost is the only form of freedom there is. And so here Joshua comes in now. Now, it's a trial. And Joshua's standing before the judgment seat. And this, and the Bible says he's standing, Joshua is standing before the angel of the Lord. Now, we know it's a perfect portrait of Revelation again and Daniel 9, because in Daniel 9, you're going to remember, he, the judge, is seated on the throne. Watch as the story unfolds. So here comes Joshua. He's the high priest. He's representing a people. And these people have been given a blanket promise. You're going to be my people. I'm going to make my covenant with you. I'm going to take you into a land that I've prepared. I'm going to drive out the inhabitants. I'm going to establish you. I'm going to be your God. You're going to be my people. I'm going to be a husband. You're going to be my wife. We're going to have this relationship, and all the world will come to Jerusalem to worship. This is God's covenant with them and Abraham's seed. I'm choosing you, Abraham, and all of your seed through Isaac, through the Christ line. I'm going to bless all of them, beginning with you. Now, the problem was that you and I know is that Israel had not kept God's commandments. And guess who else knew that? The other guy in the story. The Bible is seen is that you've got Joshua, the high priest, who's representing all the family. And you've got the angel of the Lord who's trying the case. You've got a judge seated on the throne according to Daniel 9. You've got the accuser, Satan, and you've got the prophet Zechariah standing over here watching it all take place. And now Zechariah begins to tell you what's going on in the courtroom drama. Everybody loves it these days. Anytime there's a trial, everybody wants to tune in. And, oh, you see the news, you hear their testimony. And everybody gets glued to the screen. And here's Zechariah watching this trial take place. And he says the conversation begins. And here's a covenant. Here's Joshua. He's representing everybody. And this God has promised a covenant that, because whatever happens to Joshua, whatever decision God makes for this high priest is going to apply to the entire race of Abraham's family. Amen? And so now you've got the devil standing here, and the devil is accusing him. And the devil is saying, you know, Israel can't be your covenant people. They've got false images and false gods, and they play whoredoms, and they break your word, and they're idolaters, and they're sinners, and I know it, and I got the record. And the Bible, and you know what? It was all true. Joshua, the Bible says he was standing there in filthy rags. All of Israel filthy. No way could this God overlook that. No way. It's doomed. Satan's got him cold. He's got the evidence. There's no way to deny it. Satan can prove it. He's got the instant replay. He's got the documentation to prove it. And the prophet is standing over here and he's trying to write it down. And God looked at Joshua and Satan says this. And Joshua's standing, he's got on filthy clothes. And but now it's God's turn to speak. And God looks at Satan and he says, silence! How dare you accuse my family? Is not this Jerusalem whom I have chosen? And Jerusalem always represents the bride of God. He says, is not this my predestinated family? How dare you accuse them? And Satan, but I got the proof. You got no proof. My word says that they are innocent. My word says that I have chosen them before the foundation of the world. And you will not stand here in my presence and accuse them. Oh, he's got filthy garments. Look at his garments. Silence. And he says to his servants, bring forth clean clothing and take this filthy clothing off of my son. Take this filthy clothing. Take this accusation of the devil. Take all of this proof. Take all of this evidence and rip it off of him and clothe him in the righteousness that only I can give a man. Amen. Hallelujah, friends. That's where you stand here tonight. Oh my! And Joshua was standing there because he represented the whole family. I thought today, when I was thinking about that, my mind went back to a prophet who's laying there in a bed, and a voice, he begins to hear singing, and a voice says, "Would you like to see what's beyond the curtain?" And he says, "Oh, it would help me so much." And he said, in a moment, he said, "I would went somewhere, and I look back, and there's my body and my hands behind my head." He thought, "Where am I?" I walked up a little place, and all of a sudden, here comes beautiful women and beautiful men, and they're running to me, and they're screaming, and they're throwing their arms around me, and they're setting me up on a high place. And I said, "Oh, I shouldn't be up here. I shouldn't sit up here." I said, "Oh, no. No, no, no. You sit right. You're supposed to be there. You're a leader in the earth." And oh, what's this all about? Oh, you see that woman that you thought was so beautiful? That woman was past 90 when you led her to Christ. And Brother Branham said, "Oh, there can't be that many Branhams. They're not Branhams. They're your converts." Brother Branham says there were millions of them. It wasn't just his family. It wasn't just Branham's. It was Mrs. Jesus from around the globe down through 33 years of ministry. I was there. You were there. We're all represented there. Amen. And he says, "I want to see Jesus." Oh, no. See, he's up that way. He's a little higher. Said, "Someday he'll come. And when he does, he'll come to you. And you'll be judged by the words you spoke." See, here's Joshua standing there. He's representing all the family. And he says, and Brother Brandon says, "Oh." Says, "Well, I'll be judged? Yes, and if you are accepted, then we'll be accepted." Amen. He says, will Paul have to stand? Oh, yes. Paul will have to stand for his age. And he said, "Will Paul be accepted?" Oh, yes. Paul will be accepted. He said, "Then mine will be accepted too. For I only ever preached exactly what Paul preached." And Brother Branham said, millions lifted their voice. We are resting on that. Do you realize, friends, one who represents a whole family, and he stands there, and he's got to be judged for the words that he spoke, but he only spoke what the Apostle Paul spoke. The Omega is now the Alpha, and God is yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. And Joshua stands there, and he's so filthy, and there's no way he can be clean. And God says, "Take those dirty garments. Give him clean garments. Satan, hush your mouth. Go out of this presence. This is my chosen son. This is my elected family. I'm not just looking at one man. I'm looking at hosts of people. I'm looking at churches who have followed me in my word, who have taken on my spirit, and it has taken their filthy garments away." You know what? Prophet Zechariah, he's standing, he's watching it. Oh, he's getting excited. "Yes, you tell him, Lord. You tell him, Lord. That old devil, I'm so sick of him. You tell him, Lord. You put him in his place." And the prophet gets so excited. He suddenly goes, "Bring a fair mitre and put it on his head." He's like, "Did I say that? Who said that?" You know what happens? The mitre was brought. And now the Bible, now you're not looking at Daniel 9. Now you're not looking at a judge seated. The Bible said, and the angel now stood to his feet. Why is he standing? To enforce the word of his prophet. Bring a fair mitre. Oh, hallelujah. That prophet got so excited. He said, "I don't even call you church anymore. I call you bride. You're the crowning of my ministry." And God stood to his feet and took the book and came down and broke the seals and said, "I'm claiming my family, and they're predestinated, and Satan can never touch them." That's where I stand tonight. That's where you stand tonight. You stand clean. Say, "You don't know what I've done." I know this, that God has silenced the devil. Why don't you stand to your feet tonight and let's raise our hands and let's give glory to this one who spoke on your behalf. This one who stepped forward. And Brother Branham said, he stepped from eternity Brother Branham said he stepped from eternity to take that book. And he said tonight he'll step from eternity to meet you right where you stand, right where you are in this building tonight. I challenge you to believe. I don't care what the devil has bound you with. There is one standing here now who's ready to absolve you and say, Satan, be silent. This is my family whom I have chosen. This is my family who I bled for and died for. And they are dressed in the garments of my righteousness. They have followed me. They have taken my spirit. Oh, Lord, we love you tonight. Oh, we lift our hands to you tonight, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We accept your word, Lord. We believe what you have said about us, oh God. Oh my. Oh my. I wonder if we could like an anthem of believers. I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice. All together, take joy, my King, in what you hear. Oh, let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ears. All together now, I love you, Lord. Oh, let's worship him, friends. And I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King. Take joy, my King. Hallelujah. In what? Oh, lift your voices now. Let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your... What key do you need it to be, brother? You find us the key. All right. Amen. Help me, Brother Nathan. I love you. Let's just have a few moments. And I lift my voice to worship. I wonder if we could just have an old-fashioned worship, friends. Why don't you just wave your hands at him? Forget about the person near you. Forget who's standing beside you. Let's worship this one. Enjoy. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. How we worship you, Lord. In what you hear. Oh, may it be a sweet, sweet sound. In glory to God. Oh my, the Holy Spirit wants to set you free tonight. If you can receive it. I love you, Lord. Just sing the song to him. Oh, and I lift my voice to worship. Oh, hallelujah, sing it, friends. Oh, I challenge you to believe his word tonight. Whatever your need, whatever the devil's held over you. Speak on your behalf. And what you hear, oh, let it be a sweet, sweet sound. While they play it now, while they just play it softly, let's talk to him. Master, Lord Jesus, I noticed that Joshua really had nothing to say. He was so guilty. He had nothing he could claim. He just simply, if Joshua had any words in his heart, it'd be just like us tonight. We just say, nothing in my arms I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Lord, we stand before you. Many times we come, we have filthy rags of our own failure. Filthy rags where we doubted your word. Filthy rags where we transgressed your covenant. We're like David, we're thinking on our ways tonight. prophet said David realized he'd made God a lot of promises and he hadn't always kept them promises. If you're here tonight, say, I'm like David, Brother Jason. I've made God a lot of promises, but I haven't always kept those promises. I'm thinking on my ways tonight. You want to raise your hand to God and say, over here I am, Lord. I'm standing right here. A prophet is calling you bride. A prophet is saying, put a crown on her head. She's the queen of heaven. The angel of the Lord never repeated it. He didn't need to because his prophet was his mouthpiece. The Bible just said the angel of the Lord stood by. Why was he now standing? To enforce the words of his prophet. Do you believe that tonight? There is a Holy Spirit and a prophet has taught you that you could be free. You could come from bondage and the Holy Spirit is standing here on his feet to enforce the word that you have believed. By God's messenger. Oh, do you want to serve him? How many raise your hand and say, Lord, I want to serve you like never before. I want my whole life. I want my family. I want my loved ones. I want to serve you in church, at home, on the job, in my car, in my prayer closet, wherever I go. I want the world to know that I've been stripped of my filthy garments and I've been clothed in the righteousness of God. Oh, hands are up everywhere. Let's pray for one another, Master. Lord, honest hearts and honest hands went up in the air. And people are wanting to believe your word. They're wanting to believe for every promise. And I know the devil is trying to hold some of them because maybe they've got the memory of their failure. And I pray that the Holy Spirit speak out tonight and silence that accusing devil. And Lord, let them see that you are ready here to enforce the word of redemption upon their life. I believe it, Lord. Let them believe it. Let the young and old believe it. Let the married and the single, let men and women believe it, Lord. Make real men out of these men. Make real ladies out of these sisters. Lord Jesus, we're here at this last hour, and we want to be a shining light, a vessel that, Lord, is fit for your treasure chest, Lord. I want to be a vessel, Lord, that can be used. I want to be clean. Take all my wrong thinking. Take all my wrong activities. Take all my, I want to come from bondage into freedom. I want to let those things go. I, whom the Son has made free is free indeed. Let it be so tonight, Master. I pray for these people, Lord, who have sat very patiently, Lord, for a lengthy sermon. But Lord, it was your word and they were drinking it in. And now they're here to believe it. And the Holy Ghost is here to enforce it. May it be so, O God. We commit ourselves to you, Father. It's your people. The word is preached. They believed it. Now come, Holy Spirit, and confirm your word among this people tonight. Lord, that the world could know that God is true. That's why Jesus said, you believe me. If you don't believe my word, believe my life. That you'll just watch my life and you'll have faith in God. You'll believe that God keeps his word. Lord, that's the kind of life that I want to have. I want the world to believe you because of my testimony. I love you, Lord. I live. Oh, hallelujah. Let's worship him, friends, to worship you. Oh, my soul. Yes, God.
Be a sweet, sweet sound in your
presence here tonight. Amen. I know it's a little later than normal, but you know, if you were watching your favorite sports team, I don't care if it's soccer, football, or basketball, or whatever it is, they went into double overtime, you'd be so excited, you'd be calling and texting the neighbors. So if the Holy Ghost wants us to go into double overtime tonight, let's just be patient with him. We should be excited about it tonight, more than a ball game, more than a sporting event. Amen. Brother Donnie Reagan wrote this song. We sing it here, and it seems like the Holy Spirit just comes when we do. Let's just sing it to him tonight. Oh, Papa God, you saved me from
but my old life you forgave me. You have cleansed and made me whole. Lord, you touched my heart, you changed my soul. Now I know I need you so. Papa God, do you know you need him tonight? Let's just sing it to him. Oh, Papa God, you saved me from my old life. You forgave me. You have cleansed and made me whole. Lord, you touched my heart and you changed my soul. Now I know I need you so.
While they play that together, let me just say this to you tonight. Brother Jason preached a message tonight on deliverance from freedom to bondage. You don't have to be bound anymore. You're free, little bride. If you're struggling with something tonight, maybe it's a physical ailment, maybe it's something in the spiritual that Satan's just bound you down, an addiction or a problem or a struggle that you've inherited through your family or whatever it is. You don't have to be bound anymore tonight. Amen. Why don't you be man enough or woman enough tonight to come forward and say, Brother Jason, Brother Nathan, Brother Layton, all these different brothers, I've got something in my life that I need to be free from. And who the Son has set free is free indeed. I don't want to live with this thing in my life anymore. I want freedom of spirit. I want freedom from sin and sickness and torment. Why don't you just come forward tonight? These brothers will pray with you. Amen. Brother Trevor, Brother Daniel, Brother Stephen, if you brothers would just come and minister brothers, pray with us over anybody that feels led. There's freedom tonight. If you don't walk away free tonight, don't lay it on God. Don't lay it on the preacher. It's between you and God tonight. There's freedom to be had. Amen. Let's sing it. Oh, Lord, you saved me from my old life. You forgave me. You have cleansed and made me whole. Lord, you touched my heart and you changed my soul. Now I know I need you so. Papa God, let's just sing it to him tonight with all our hearts. Oh, Papa God, you say. Seated tonight if you need to, or you can stand if you want to.
Thank you. Thank you.
so happy. Oh, I've accepted the word of the Lord. It's the revealed word that was spoken by the prophet of Malachi. Oh, can't you see why this bride's so happy? For tonight, oh, it's the revealed word that was spoken by the prophet of Malachi. Oh, can't you see why denominational creed and dogmas won't produce this? But there's a living reality of the Holy Spirit in our midst because we accepted the vindicated word for our day. It's the revealed word that was spoken by the prophet of Malachi. Oh, can't you see we're so happy, for we've accepted the word of the Lord. It's the revealed word that was spoken by the prophet. Oh, what a word that we've received. We ought to be happy tonight, for we've accepted the word of the Lord. Oh, it's the revealed word that was spoken by the prophet of Malachi. Yes, can't you see? So happy, for she's accepted the word of the Lord, the revealed word that was spoken by the prophet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Accepted the word of the Lord. It's the revealed word that was spoken by the prophet of Malachi 4. A revealed word that was spoken by the prophet of Malachi 4. Oh, can't you see why I'm so happy? For I've accepted the word of the Lord. It's the revealed word that was spoken by the prophet of Malachi 4. We claim deliverance, Father God.
Seated just a moment if you'd like. Amen. Brother Bram said he came out of that vision. He was running, crying, screaming, saying, "Where's Roy Borders? God's delivering his people." Amen. I believe God's delivering his people tonight. Amen. God came on the scene tonight to deliver his people. You don't have to be bound anymore, but you can be free. Amen. Whatever you're going through, whatever the trial is, whatever the circumstance, it may seem impossible tonight, but God's delivering his people. Amen. Don't let Jesus pass you by tonight. Amen. God's good to us, isn't he? Amen. I believe this word with all my heart, Brother Daniel, because I see what it produces. If a prophet had came and said a lot of words, and it might have sounded good and everything, but if it didn't produce anything, what good would it have done? But we see what the word produces. And that's why I can believe it with all my heart, because I see it over and over and over again manifested. I'm thankful for brothers, these ministering brothers, Brother Buckles and Brother Trevor and Brother Daniel, Brother Layton, Brother Jason, all the different ministering brothers that are here with us tonight that believe this word, that believe this message and are standing for it. I'm not ashamed of the prophet. I'm not ashamed of his message. I'm not ashamed of the picture of the cloud or the picture of the prophet with the pillar of fire over his head. If I had one with Moses, Brother Daniel crossing the Red Sea with the pillar of fire and the cloud, I'd have it right up here with them. They just hadn't invented the camera yet. If I had one with Paul on the road to Damascus with the pillar of fire striking him down and blinded him, even it was so real to him that it blinded his own physical eyes, I'd have it right up here too. They just didn't have a camera to catch it. They'd say, oh, you got a picture of a man up. No, that we believe the man and we follow the man, but the picture's not up here because of the man. It's because God loved him so much he came and had his picture taken with him. Amen. Hoffman painted as good as he could with human hands the vision that God had given him of what he looked like, but in our day he came and had his picture taken with this prophet. Amen. If I ever take it off or try to put it away, you come and you commit me to the insane asylum, because I must have lost my mind. Because I know what's down here on my soul, that inner soul, would never do it. I love it too much. I stand for it. I respect it. I believe it with all my heart tonight. I'm not going back. There's some that are going back, but they're going the way of Lot. Lot went back, but Abraham, he kept going forward. Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's sing it again. Oh, can't you see why I'm so happy? Are you happy about it tonight? Oh, I've accepted the word of the Lord. It's the revealed word that was spoken by the prophet of Malachi 4. Let's sing it again together. Oh, can't you see why I'm so happy? Oh, I've accepted the word of the Lord. It's the revealed word that was spoken by the prophet of Malachi 4. Amen. I know we're later tonight than we normally are, but I, as much as I love you and love your fellowship, I'd rather be in his presence than standing out here talking about McDonald's or what's happening in the news or whatever. I'd rather be in his presence a little while longer and maybe cut those things a little shorter tonight. And, you know, I believe the Holy Spirit has challenged the people tonight. He's challenged your faith tonight to see what you'll do. He's challenging people with decisions. He's challenging people's faith. And it's up to you tonight. What will you do with this Jesus called Christ? What will you do with this vindicated word? Will you crucify it like Pilate? Or will you say, no, give me this, take this whole world, but just give me Jesus? Amen. We sing this song here at the church. Sister Brenda Lewis wrote it, but we call it our victory song. I think it's very fitting for tonight. Oh, it's already done. Hallelujah. It's already done. I'll praise your name. This battle is over. My victory is won. It's already done. If you believe that tonight, let's stand on our feet and sing it. Oh, I know it's already done. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, and I'll praise his name. This battle is over. The victory is won. It's already done. You believe it tonight? Oh, I know it's already done. Already done. You say you just don't understand, Brother Nathan. Whatever you're going through tonight. Oh, hallelujah. It's already done. So
praise Him and give Him thanks for what He's done tonight. Not only what He's done tonight, but what He's going to do, because we're claiming every promise in the book is ours. It belongs to us. We're His child, so let's praise Him. Almighty God, as we come before You, Lord, as we raise our hands to You tonight, we love You, Lord, and we praise Your holy name. We know that You're the only true living God, and we know, Lord, that You have made a way for us. And tonight, Lord Jesus, the brother has come and it preached to us how to accept complete deliverance and how to accept complete victory. And Lord, tonight we claim that acceptance and we accept it from You, Lord, and we stand before You as Your bride of Jesus Christ, Lord, that is white as snow because Your blood made us that way, and we accept it in the name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank You for every one of these people, for every one of them, Lord, that stands here believing Your word. And we thank You for sending Brother Jason this way, Lord, and for Brother Nathan to have Him come, Lord, but most of all, we thank You, Lord Jesus, for Your wonderful presence and for the Holy Ghost and for Your word in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Thank You, Lord.
Amen. Amen. Let's just give the Lord a great hand clap of praise. If you can accept what God has done tonight, your life can be changed. Amen. Let's just sing this tonight before we go. Oh, we'll give all the glory to Jesus and tell of His love. I want to tell of His love. Oh, yes, we'll give all the glory. Appreciate the presence of the Holy Spirit here tonight. And my, just remember tomorrow, if you have a home church that you'd like to, that you attend, then please be at your post of duty tomorrow. If you don't have a home church within driving distance, or if this is your home church, then try to be here tomorrow, 10:30. Amen. Is there a testimony?
Tina just said all the symptoms she had when she came up here, the Lord's taken.
Praise God. All the symptoms are gone. It's already done. Amen. Amen. God's good. He's real. He's still Hebrews 13:8. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. It's not just a God of the past, a God of history. But Brother Branham said we need to raise Him up out of history. He's a present tense God here for us tonight. He still hears and answers prayer. Amen. God bless you. Sunday school at 10:30 in the morning. Regular service at 11. Brother Jason will be speaking for us. God bless you tonight. Amen. If you didn't get something tonight, I don't know what I can do to help you or Brother Jason or anybody else. God bless you. Let's sing it tonight as we go. Oh, we'll give all the glory to Jesus and tell of His love.